Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
What is the aim or goal of your Christian life? Maybe it's just to be saved and to someday go to heaven. Maybe it's to be the very best person that you can be. These are just a couple of the more common answers we might get from Christians today, and these are okay, but do they match the goal and the aim that are presented to us in the divine revelation of Scripture? Galatians is a book that has much to say about the aim and goal of the Christian life. We will look at what the Bible reveals as the goal of the Christian life on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Dick Taylor has joined us today. Dick, welcome back to the program. Kind of an intriguing opening, I think.
It is an intriguing subject, and this message today is awesome. Sowing to the Spirit, taking Christ and the triune God as our goal. This is too precious.
Well, Dick, the Galatians were genuine Christians, saved by grace through faith, yet they had become totally distracted from the Christ of their salvation and were aiming at keeping the law, especially this matter of circumcision. In a sense, we all have to feel indebted to them, I think, for giving Paul such a good opportunity to present the case to bring all the saved ones back to Christ. We're a lot like the Galatians much of the time, aren't we, Dick?
We certainly are, and I realize from this message how subtle Satan is. Doing one thing, always trying to get us to misaim. It seems that we as Christians, we can misaim by just waiting for pie in the sky by and by, but totally missing God's goal at this very moment during this very day, which is the wonderful Christ, the marvelous triune God, who's the life-giving Spirit, who's right within our spirit. Satan wants us to do anything but hit the goal and aim properly at this wonderful person. He's also trying to misdirect us to mere self-improvement, self-correction, regulations, laws, rituals. He'll do anything to cause us to misaim and to miss the goal of Christ Himself, the living person who is the life-giving Spirit with our spirit. But I appreciate this program redirects us, recalibrates us, refocuses us to the unique center and goal of our Christian life, the triune God Himself, and that's why we're so happy.
Dick, I get a chance in the course of helping put this program together to listen to a fair amount of radio, Christian radio, and by and large, people are saying pretty much one thing. Here's this self-help program, that self-help program, and really the help that we are bringing is not self-help.
No, it's not.
It's Christ help.
Amen for Christ help.
In the first section today, Dick, we want to look at this matter of sowing and reaping that appear in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh, but he who sows unto the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. We touched these verses once before. I'm glad we've come back to them, Dick.
I'm glad also we've returned to see what it means to sow to eternal life.
Dick, let's go to Witness Lee, and you and I will be back in just a couple of minutes.
According to Paul's writing, God's New Testament economy is to work Christ into the believers, that they may live Christ by the Spirit. Yet, the Galatians were distracted from this. They were distracted from the experience and the enjoyment of Christ by the Spirit. And they were distracted to the keeping of the law, to the practice of circumcision. They have missed the mark. Because of this, the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to unveil to them God's economy, to bring them back to Christ, to bring them back from the keeping of the law, from the practice of the circumcision, back to the enjoyment of Christ, amen, back to the realization of the life-giving Spirit, amen, back to the real blessing of God's gospel. That is the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit. This is the underlying basic thought when Paul wrote these 10 verses, verses 7 through 16 in chapter 6. God's economy is to give you Himself as the Spirit. Amen. Why wouldn't you take this as your aim? Why would you still aim at the law? God's goal is just to be the all-inclusive Spirit to you for your enjoyment. Take Him as the all-inclusive Spirit as your goal, as your aim, to sow something unto the Spirit. You will reap eternal life. The consummation of eternal life is just the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate embodiment of the eternal life. There in the New Jerusalem, you don't have the law, you don't have circumcision, just the river of the water of life flowing with the tree of life. This is eternal life. The whole city will be an embodiment of life eternal, which will be the ultimate issue of our sowing into the Spirit.
Dick, the last couple of days on this program, we've been looking at a matter of sowing and reaping that are presented in Galatians 6 in those two verses, verse 7 and 8. Verse 8 points out that the result of sowing to the Spirit is eternal life. Witness Lee connected that with the New Jerusalem. What is the connection between the eternal life that we reap from sowing to the Spirit and the New Jerusalem?
When you consider the New Jerusalem, Chris, I believe there are two key words that our brother uses to really help us. Number one, the New Jerusalem is the embodiment of the eternal life. That means when you touch this entity, the New Jerusalem, you touch a city of eternal life. The divine, uncreated, eternal life is embodied in that city. Within the city, we see there's the tree of life, there's the river of life, there's the light of life. The tree of life is just Christ Himself as our life supply to satisfy our hunger and to maintain our organic life oneness with the Lord for eternity. The river of life is just Christ Himself, the triune God Himself, as life to quench our thirst and maintain our organic or life oneness with Him for eternity. And the light of life is just to save us from all the darkness, to keep us absolutely in one accord in the shining of the light of His life so that we could maintain this wonderful union with Him and enjoy an inexplicable oneness. So, number one, the New Jerusalem is the embodiment of life. Secondly, the New Jerusalem is the consummate issue of sowing to the Spirit. As we sow to this wonderful person, that is to sow unto the Spirit with Him in view alone, eventually there's a consummate issue of sowing to this wonderful, divine, eternal life, and that is the New Jerusalem.
Let's talk about this matter of sowing before we go back to Witness Lee. It may imply to some people setting out to do something quite significant or grand, a sowing to the Spirit. But as we pointed out on earlier broadcasts dealing with this topic, it's virtually everything that we do, say, think, utter during the day. It's all a kind of sowing, isn't it?
It really is. And it's just like while we're on this broadcast, Everything we say is sowing to the Spirit, or sowing to the flesh if we ignore the Spirit. Everything is a sowing one way or the other. May all of our speaking, our saying, our doing, our living be unto the marvelous person, the Spirit.
Dick, the pictures that we have presented in Scripture about the New Jerusalem, it's just life, 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 isn't it?
It's really true. All you see in this city is life, life, life. No more religion, no more regulations, no more law, no circumcision, none of these things. But just the marvelous person of the triune God fully mingled and blended with his people.
Well, Dick, in this coming section, we want to look at Paul fighting for the Galatian believers. Let's join Witness Lee, and we'll return shortly.
When Paul was Saul of Tarsus, his world was Judaism, circumcision. By that time, Saul didn't know anything. Saul was not for anything. He only knew Judaism, his father's tradition, law, ordinances. But that word was crucified. And Saul of Tarsus was also crucified. Amen. To the Judaism. So he declares neither circumcision is anything, nor uncircumcision, but, hallelujah, a new creation. Circumcision cannot change your nature. Circumcision doesn't transform you. But when you aim at the Spirit, when you sow into the Spirit makes you what? A new creation.
Amen.
What was the Apostle Paul's aim? The Apostle Paul's aim was to triune God. He didn't know anything. He forgot everything. He said, for Christ, I give up everything. I have no other goal. I have no other aim. The aim, the image of my life is just the triune God who is to me the Spirit. Whatever I do it unto this. Whatever I say it unto this. Whatever I am unto this. Unto what? Unto the triune God. The triune God is my goal. I tell you, brothers, this is a governing vision. This is a controlling vision. This is a directing vision. Young and old, whosoever would see this, will see this vision. This vision will govern you, control you, and direct you by his mercy. Within the past 55 years, I never got distracted. This controlled me and still controls me. We all need such a vision. Don't sow into the flesh, but into the Spirit, who is the subjective, all-inclusive God indwelling your spirit. He, the all-inclusive, present, subjective, living person, should be your goal. Amen. Take him as your goal. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul meant. Galatians, you're altogether wrong. You're aiming at something so low, repudiated by God. You have to come back to the very God who is now the life-giving Spirit at the totality of the blessing of the gospel.
Amen.
Come back to this and aim at this one. Have your goal at this one for your living, for your life, for your whole being. It is so shallow to tell Christians, don't love the world. Many Christians would say, what do you mean? If we don't love the world, what are we going to love? Everybody is a loving person. Don't you have a loving appetite? You tell me, young and old.
Yes.
Don't you have a loving desire?
Yes.
And this desire must be occupied.
Right.
And this desire must be filled up. If you have the triune God, so subjective, so living, so present, so real, filling you up, you would say, I am full.
Amen.
Sorry, I am full. The world is good, but something better,
amen,
something even the best,
amen,
has full possession of me.
Amen.
Sorry, I love you, but I have no space for you. You have to go to others. Don't come to bother me. If we have such a goal, higher, much higher, millions times higher than the world. Would we still love the world? We have no rule. Our desire, our appetite, our love has altogether been filled up by this best one.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
He is our goal.
Well, Dick, as the one who was laboring so desperately for these Galatian believers, trying to bring them back to Christ, Paul had to be uniquely qualified. According to his own word, he was the most zealous of all the law keepers, but he had fully changed his aim and his goal to Christ, to the Spirit, to the very triune God. It seems that the Christian life will always be a struggle if we don't get to this point eventually, doesn't it?
That's really true, Chris, because actually, if we take any other goal or any other aim, then sowing to the Spirit, sowing unto Christ, aiming at the triune God himself, we will be absolutely frustrated. You know why? Because God is offended. And actually, we become rebellious toward him and toward his economy. The center of God's economy is just Christ himself. We must not have any other goal. As I was enjoying this portion, I realized that Paul in Philippians 3 was very strong about this matter. He had quite a history in Judaism, and he was really zealous. In chapter 3 of Philippians, he said he was circumcised the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal persecuting the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, become blameless. Then he says, but what things were gains to me? These I've counted as loss on account of Christ. And he counted everything as loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And at the end of verse 8 in chapter 3, he says, that I may gain Christ. He was rejecting any other aim, any other goal. And he was taking Christ himself as his unique goal and unique aim. He says, not only do I want to gain Christ, but verse 9 says, I want to be found in Christ. He didn't want to be found in the law. He wanted to be found in Christ. He didn't want to be found in outward regulations or things like circumcision. He wanted to be found in Christ. Then verse 10 says, to know him. He just wanted to know this marvelous person. In verse 12 of the same chapter, he says, not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue. I want to lay hold of the one who laid hold of me. What laid hold of me was a marvelous person, Jesus Christ. I want to lay hold of him. Verse 13, the same chapter, says, brothers, I do not account of myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. Paul was so strong after meeting the Lord and realizing he should be our unique aim, our unique goal. Our whole life should be a sowing unto him. That is a sowing unto the Spirit, that eventually we reap eternal life, which is the building up and the consummation of the building of God and man for eternity, the New Jerusalem. This is reached by pursuing Christ and Christ alone. May we spend our whole life sowing unto him and reaping eternal life.
Well, Dick, we talked earlier about the New Jerusalem as the ultimate issue of sowing to the Spirit. Along the way, between where we are today and the ultimate day when we will all be in the New Jerusalem, there's an issue, the new creation. That's what we're going to talk about in this final section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
A new creation is God, the Divine Spirit, making himself the very constituent of your being to make you something new. Ethical teachings could improve people's behavior, but it can never reconstitute anyone. But when we aim at the triune God, we walk by the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. This Spirit, hour after hour, is reconstituting us, imparting divine element into our being. Then we remain no more the old creation. We rather become a new creation, with the divine element reconstituted into our very being. What will be the ultimate issue? The New Jerusalem. That is the ultimate composition of all these new creations. Are you under a kind of adjustment?
No.
Are you under a kind of improvement?
No.
You learn the patience?
No.
Is this the new creation?
No.
You don't like to suffer? Then you learn of the Indian Buddhist. Learn to suffer. What is that? That is not the new creation. The new creation is God's chosen people taking God, the all-inclusive, subjective, near God, as their goal. Their walk, their daily life is aiming at Him. By aiming at Him, surely in everything we be one spirit with the Spirit. Then the Spirit all the time transmits all the divine element into our being.
Amen.
Some element, not teaching, some essence, not theory, is being transmitted, infused into our being.
Amen.
To reconstitute our being.
Amen.
Making us altogether new creation.
Amen.
Very good. Hallelujah. I'm so happy that this book eventually ends a new creation.
Dick, ethical and moral teachings may have some effect in improving a person's behavior, but according to Galatians 6:15, the issue of the real Christian life is a new creation. If we're to understand this phrase literally, Dick, then just having our behavior improved could never reach a goal like this. How do we then qualify to take part in a new creation?
I like this verse, Chris. It says, "For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation is what matters." Well, ethical teachings may improve our behavior a little bit, but they cannot reconstitute us. They cannot genuinely change us. Like we mentioned already, the ethical teachings cannot regenerate us, cannot transform us, cannot make us like the Lord in life and nature for His expression. The most they can do is improve us a little bit. But the new creation is altogether related to participating in and partaking of the divine element of God Himself. As we would practice day by day to sow to the Spirit, that is to aim at Christ and Christ alone. Our only desire is to enjoy the triune God. As we're doing this, we end up becoming one spirit with the Lord, and we begin to participate in His wonderful divine element circulating in our being spiritually. The result is we become reconstituted. So it's so wonderful to see that these ethical and moral teachings, they can only improve you a little bit outwardly, but they never change you, and they could never make you a new creation. You still remain just the old creation with a little improvement. We need to live a life of sowing unto the Spirit in all that we are, in all that we do, in all that we say. Thus, we participate in His divine life with His divine element, which is inwardly making us new, a new creation in the triune God Himself. We're here enjoying and experiencing and participating in the triune God, who's the wonderful Christ, who's the life-giving Spirit. We have nothing else to do except to aim at Him, take Him as our goal, and enjoy Him.
I very much appreciated our time together. I especially appreciated your definition of the word new in this last section. New means God's element is there.
Amen.
Thank you for your fellowship, Dick.
You're welcome, Brother Chris.
Please come back.
I sure will.
And for Dick Taylor, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening.